everyone. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, happy new year. I don't know if you guys are tired, is early, or tired from the fast, but it seems like a little low energy in this room today. Maybe we should do something to shake it up. Why don't you guys stand to your feet? Why don't you face this way? Why don't you give someone a little shoulder rub, huh? Wake them up. Gently, gently. Oh, Marion's got nobody. What's up, Marion? Oh, there you go. Few minutes, and then let's go the opposite way. Now, this is what you call payback. Oh, so nice. This is like the best service ever. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Make sure you say your nice thank yous there. Well, it's wonderful to be here, and especially for the new year. I know a lot of our church is still traveling, and we want to just continue to extend our greetings this year. We had an awesome New Year's Eve service a couple nights ago, and we actually went until about 2:30 in the morning, and it was just a really wonderful time as a community, brought the word, and then just had a really wonderful time of ministry, and we want to just continue on that momentum throughout this rest of this year, actually. But I announced what our theme was after much prayer and just really time spent with the Lord, especially on our pastor's retreat that we just had in KL about a month ago. And so, can I get the drum roll again? So, okay, that's good. So our theme leading up in 2016 is called Building the House. And I'm going to explain it just really quick here, and then we'll spend some time expanding on that throughout the year. And the passage actually comes from Ephesians chapter 4. It's verse 11 through 13, and he says, And God first gave, sent to us apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors for the equipping of the saints to building up the body of Christ until we attain the full measure of the stature of Christ. I totally paraphrase that. But really, the part is the middle verse there, the whole idea of building up the body, and in this regard, building up the house. And so what really felt like God really speak to us about was primarily spending the first half of the year just really talking about building ourselves up. And so we're going to be talking about building up of our, obviously, our love for the Lord, building up ourselves in the Word. And so I'm gonna finish what we tried to do last year before we got a little sidetracked. And so we're going to spend some time on the Word and kind of teach you how to do Bible study and those kind of things. And then a lot of it, too, is also building up our families. And primarily what we kind of feel like a focus for this year is building up our marriages. And we plan to have some type of marriage retreat or maybe just a conference here at church in the beginning, the first half of the year, which hopefully will be a real blessing to many of us. And we realize we actually have never really done a marriage enrichment type of event at church. And so we feel really led to do that this year. So hopefully you guys will sign up. And definitely if you don't sign up, your spouse will sign you up. So you'll get there no matter what. And I think it's going to be a really, really pivotal time for us as a church, and especially in our marriages, which is really the foundation of our relationships. And then the second half of the year, we're going to talk about building up God's house and building up the body of Christ and kind of all that entails and means. And so I'm really quite excited about that, to see where God will lead us in that regard. And so something for you to pray for, something for you to keep in mind and really seek the Lord in as we really think about what it means to not just operate as a son, but really meaning to build the house of the Lord. And so we'll be going into that this year, okay? So let's turn to our Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. And this is one of my bread and butter messages on fasting. So many of us here are doing what's known as the Daniel fast. My wife is doing a Daniel fast. And many of us are fasting for 21 days, which is like Daniel. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get the word in your hand there. Incidentally, what you see on the stage, and some of it's a little blocked because of the communion table, but usually, because I know a lot of our church travels over the holidays, but our New Year's Eve service, we've been quite well known to have some kind of activity, spiritual activity, and this year we made these bookmarks, and Kenny did a really great job, and if you see it, it's in the front says the son of the house, and the back it says our 216 prayers, and our logo's on the bottom. Actually, all the churches got one, Singapore, Beijing, obviously their own logo on the bottom, and we were supposed to do this during New Year's Eve, but your pastor, it was me, I mistakenly took it to Singapore, and I left it there. And so we didn't do it. So we did something a little different, which actually kind of worked out quite well, related to the message on New Year's Eve service. So we're going to be doing this today after the service, after communion. And we're going to ask you to come up to the front and grab one bookmark. Obviously, if you're grabbing one for your spouse or something, you can grab two. Just spend some time in the service and just kind of fill out your prayer requests. And the idea is to keep this in your Bible. That's why it's important to have a physical Bible, because you can't put this in your iPhone, right, or your Android phone. And so put this in your Bible, and as you read the Bible, and we're making a real push to read the Bible every single day. And on the back table, when you leave today, there is a year Bible reading plan. And it's actually really simple. I think it's just four chapters a day. And if you just read four chapters a day, there's some Old Testament, some New Testament, you'll actually read the whole Bible in 1 year. And so that's on the back table as you leave. So when you're in your daily Bible reading time, you take the bookmark, you stick it in there so you know where you're at, and then you pray over these prayers that you'll have throughout the time. And so we'll be doing that. I'll make a note. On our New Year's Eve service, we had a lot of sinners, and all our pens went missing that day. Believe it or not, what a great way to start the year. By stealing, so the pens are here. Please put it back, and because we have two other services later, and they also need to use that. Obviously, if you have your own pen, do that. Now, if you took a pen, we won't look. Just drop it back, so other people can do that. And so, let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to read a chunk of scripture here. In Daniel 10, we're going to read from verse 1. Okay, so follow along with me. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and won a great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with the belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. For my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to all to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as you spoke to me, I received strength. And he and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth, yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, today. We thank you for the opportunity you give to us to worship you, to learn, God, to sit at your feet, and we're so humble, God, by these opportunities, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would move on us, God, through your word today. Lord, help us to understand what it means to fast, God. Help us to understand why you're calling us to this, God. And then give us the strength, Lord, to endure, to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. God, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. But help us to move beyond gifting, Lord, and release your anointing. We thank you. We love you in this house, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Now, before I get into this passage, let me just back up and just kind of give us some practical tips on fasting. For many of us, this is our second day of the fast, and it was kind of bad timing that the fast started on Saturday, which I don't remember that ever happening before, and so it may have been a little difficult for some of you guys. Actually, it made it a lot easier for me, to be honest. For the last 5 years or so, I've been doing a water fast, usually Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, I take juice. And so it was great to start the fast with juice. And I was saying, this is easy, man. That's not meant to brag or anything, but maybe it inspired us to step it up a little bit. But when we're in this season of fasting, just want to encourage you to keep warm. Your body is not burning the fuel that it really needs to keep warm. And so you're going to have to keep warm with clothes during this time. Like I said, because your body is not generating its usual heat, during this time, please also drink plenty of water, regardless of what kind of fast that you're doing. When you shower, you should shower with warm water instead of hot water. I know hot water is kind of what you want to do, but the hot water will actually drain your strength, and you might become very lightheaded afterwards. So be careful of that. In fact, when we in the midst of the fast, as we kind of go deeper into this, when you get up from a lying down position, get up very slowly. Sometimes when we get up too fast, again, you get a little lightheaded. And so you got to be aware of your body's limitations during this time. During this time, you probably want to do some regular or light exercise. Probably nothing too strenuous. You don't want to go to the weight room and do your max during that time, but probably light exercise is probably really good for you. You know, a few push-ups, something really easy. Go for a nice walk. It was actually quite nice yesterday because it was a Saturday, and I got to spend a lot of time with the family. It's crazy. We've lived on McDonald Road we lived there for like 4 years. which is, you know, is the beginning of Bowen Road. And then we moved to Stubbs Road. We've been there for a year now, which is the end of Bowen Road. And so that's 5 years. My family has never touched Bowen Road together as a family. That's how lack of exercise we are. And so, but I said, hey, let's go out. The kids are doing a iPad and sweets fast right now. And so they got a lot of time on their hands. And so they're like bored to death right now. I mean, good thing they're starting to read, and at least Hannah has her Play-Doh to keep her company. And so we decided to go on a walk, and we actually walked 3 kilometers as a family. Andrew as well, and it was great. And so I encourage you to, during this time, do a lot of very light exercise. You know, keep your musculature intact for some of us who have some. Also, importantly, this is the best time. Stay away from caffeinated drinks. And so if you are a drug addict, and your drug being coffee, probably this is the best time to get off coffee and even caffeinated teas and soda. Soda is like the worst thing for your body. The sugar that is consumed, it's actually not even good sugar that's consumed, is really bad for you. So it's probably a good time to cleanse ourselves from sodas and those type of things as well. As a person that's been fasting for a while, it's amazing that once you start doing some activity, you start noticing it in scripture, in literature. And it's quite amazing. It's the same thing. Like when you buy a car and you buy a certain car, next thing you know, you notice that car everywhere you go. Or you buy. It's just one of these things that happens. And once you start fasting, then your antennas are up, and you start seeing fasting in so many different places and so many different things. I've said over and over again that fasting and prayer has changed the world. It literally changes the world. God's people were called into action by prayer and fasting. Identities were changed. New destinies were charted. I think of someone like Saul, who was the persecutor of the church, enters into a season of fasting, and then he becomes Paul, the liberator of Gentiles into the kingdom of God. And it's quite amazing how we see this happen. In Acts, let's turn here. In Acts chapter 3, or I'm sorry, Acts chapter 13, we're introduced to the early church. The New Testament church practiced fasting not only individually, but also corporately. In Acts 13, we read this, verse 1 to 3. Now there were at Antioch in the church that there was prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. It's interesting. These 5 prophets and teachers were ministering to the Lord. This is like a dream team that was here. Out of this ministry to the Lord, they received clear direction and then power to accomplish that direction. The Holy Spirit pointed out Paul and Barnabas for this special task. The 5 men prayed again, fasted to the Lord to accomplish this task. Then they laid hands on them. But before they sent them out, and this is the transformation that occurs in seasons of prayer and fasting, before they were sent, they were merely known as prophets and teachers. And then after being sent forth from their task, this is in Acts chapter 14, they are now called apostles. And so we see a transformation that occurs in these particular men, just before, just prophets and teachers. And then after a season of fasting, as they're sent out before the Lord, now for the first time, they actually get to be called apostles. The apostolic ministry of Paul and Barnabas was birthed out of collective prayer and fasting in Antioch. And in fact, in Acts 14, 21, I'll read this real quick to you. Acts 14, 21 to 23, it says, "And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made disciples and they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. In chapter 14, verse 22, each group of believers in every city, they were simply known as disciples. But then after a season of prayer and fasting, there was the appointment of elders, and now these disciples became known as churches. The establishment of the local church in each city was accomplished through collective prayer and fasting. It's really interesting. We see throughout scriptures what an integral part prayer and fasting had in the development of the early church. Again, what I shared 2 weeks ago, it's amazing that we have lost this art, this dynamic power that God gives the church in this place of fasting. And again, we're not fasting to earn God's love or earn the pastor's approval, right? We are fasting because God loves us. We're fasting as a holy response to what God is already doing in our life. It's a holy sacrifice in this regard, okay? Now, again, it really doesn't matter what you're fasting. You could be doing a water fast or a juice fast or fasting one meal or fasting media or the internet or Facebook or sweets or, you know, like my kid, iPads. But what we're fasting, that really doesn't matter all that much. But what really matters is that we're doing it to the Lord, unto the Lord. And that it's that this very thing is something that's precious to us. We sat down before I came to New Year's Eve service. We had a little family meeting with the girls and Andrew as well. And we sat down and, you know, we prayed into the new year a bit. But part of that is, you know, I just asked all the girls, hey, you know, what are you going to fast this year? Elise and Emma and Hannah. And Emma joyfully with a huge grin on her face said, you know, Appa, I'm going to fast school and homework. And I was like, well, that's not quite the point there. And then Hannah got on the bandwagon and she goes, oh, I know. Appa, I'm going to fast vegetables. If you know, my daughter is allergic to vegetables, heavily allergic. And so that really wasn't the point. But they're good now. The most precious thing for them right now is desserts and the iPad. And so I'm really quite proud of my girls for laying that down in this season. And so it's important for us too. I mean, if my little kids can sacrifice the most important things for them, surely as adults, we can step it up a little bit. Amen? And again, it's something that's precious to us. Giving up the legitimate pleasures of this world for the extreme pleasure of knowing God and having God work in our lives. Okay? So let's go back to this Daniel 10. So Daniel, he receives this vision from the Lord, and it startles him. He understands what it means, but the understanding of that vision brings great dread into his heart. And so he decides that he's going to seek the Lord. And so he does what we term now called the Daniel fast. And this is what he does. He sees conflict. Daniel sees a spiritual battle that's coming to his people. And so what he does, and think about this, he prepares himself by fasting. He sees something coming to him, and he prepares himself by fasting. See, brothers and sisters, the reality is some of you may not even know why you're fasting right now. But I want to suggest, I want to just drop something on you that I think you're preparing yourself for something. I remember years ago, my mom, my parents were missionaries in Uzbekistan, as you guys know, for 17 years. And my mom would go to Korea quite a bit. And a lot of her supporters and sponsors were in Korea. And one time she went to Korea and she met this woman. And Korea has a lot of these very kind of women, very prophetic women. And so she happened to meet this woman. And this woman just, it was just kind of a God meeting. And this woman started just talking to my mom and just started reading my mom's mail. For us that don't understand this kind of language, that means that she was prophesying. She was really had a word from God that only my mom knew, and she was speaking those things out to my mom. And it was crazy. And so obviously it got my mom's attention of this prophetic lady that's just basically telling her the secrets of her heart and even her prayers and these type of things. And so, and then in the midst of that, she turned and said, you have kids. And she's like, okay, yeah, you know, that's not such a huge prophetic word. You know, most likely most people have kids. And he said, but you have a son and he's a pastor. Now, that's me. I'm the only son that's a pastor in my family. And you have a son and he's a pastor. And in fact, your son, he prays a lot and he fasts a lot. And my mom said, yeah, that's my son. And then she said this and she says, you know why your son fasts a lot? And she's like, why? It's because there's not too many people that pray for him. Oh, so sad. And basically this, I mean, this was pretty, it was actually revelation to me. And she was saying that a lot of times he doesn't know why he's fasting. And that's true. A lot of times I would wake up and I just hear God say, okay, fast. And I said, all right, I don't know why I'm fasting. And I do it. And this lady began to speak into that. And she says, because there's your son doesn't really have a lot of people that really pray for him. I mean, like really pray for him. And so because God is preparing him for something, God leads him to fast. And so that he can prepare for what God has in store. And then, you know, so afterwards, you know, I met with my mom and she shared with me. She said, you know, basically, oh, you have to go meet this lady. Unfortunately, we you know, my schedule. And plus, you know, that's when I was living in the States. It's hard to come out to Asia, to Korea. And so I never met this lady. I wish I would have at some point. And maybe down the road I will, you know, God willing. But it really was a huge lesson for me. That, you know, even though I may not know what I'm doing, I'm just simply operating out of pure obedience. And God always blesses that in our lives. And so, because, you know, a lot of times as rational people, we all want reasons for why we're doing stuff. Why, you know, God, why? You know, why? You know, what do I have to do this for? And sometimes we just obey, and especially as it relates to fasting. And I just felt like there's some of us here, and there is no pending issue in your life right now. There's nothing really pressing. There's not some big prayer requests that are outside of your realm to pray for. And you're wondering, why am I fasting this year? I want to suggest to you that maybe God is preparing you for something. That this fasting, and this is what I've always felt as a church and why we do this corporately. You know, fasting on January 2nd is very inconvenient. You know what I mean? Because it's cold, man. I mean, if we were to really do this, we should be fasting like in May when the weather is a little nicer. The conditions are a little bit better. We don't need so much fuel to fight the cold around us. But God calls us because we are fasting to prepare for what God has in store for us for the rest of the year. It's really, in many ways, part of our tithe. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So many of you guys are, you know, may not know why you're doing this. God is preparing you for something. There is something at work. Just like Daniel, he prepared himself by fasting. I believe there's many of us here that even though you may not understand fully now, trust me, months down the road, you're going to understand very well, oh, no wonder God led me in this fast to prepare myself and my family for what's to come in this regard. So Daniel, this is Daniel's fast. Daniel fasts for 21 days. It's 3 weeks long. Just like us, we're doing a 21-day fast. He says here he has no pleasant food. And the word in the Hebrew is the word kamad. And basically what it means to desire, to covet, to long for, something that was precious or something that was costly. In other words, very similar to what we're talking about, Daniel's fast was something that was really important to him. He liked this kind of stuff. He liked meat. He liked sweets. He liked delicacies, but he didn't eat any of those things. Whatever was important to Daniel in terms of food, he fasted. Whatever was precious to him, he fasted. That's kind of alongside of what we've been talking about these last few weeks. So part of that, part of the fast, as we understand in Scripture, not only was it he didn't have any pleasant food, what he desired, considered costly or precious, or what he longed for, but he also had no meat, and he drank no wine, and he had no ointment. Now, the ointment here is this oil that most wealthy people would use after a bath. And it was some people consider it to be a perfume, or I guess in this case, as a man, would be some kind of cologne. And the other one, many times, actually, this ointment was used for medicinal purposes. And so it not only smelled good, but it was actually good for you. And so even that regard, he actually laid that down as well. Now, I'm not saying that during this fast, don't take any medicine if you need it. If you need it, please take it. And so, you know, we don't want to be so legalistic about this because, you know, we have freedom in Christ. And so, but this was just Daniel's fast. So just take it for what it is. And so 21 days, no pleasant food, no meat, no wine, and no ointment. And he enters this season to really hear from God and to prepare himself for what's going to come. And so I have 4 points today. We'll go through this real quick as we have some communion and another activity for you. And so these are basically what happened to Daniel. And I'll call this the overflow or the result of Daniel's fast. Number one, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. If you look at verse 7 here in Daniel 10, he says, "Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves." So something was happening that they could feel something in the atmosphere, in the locality where they're at, but they couldn't see the vision that he was seeing, this beautiful, I mean, huge man in gold and all these things in this regard. It only happened, and it happened in the presence of everyone, but only Daniel's spiritual eyes were open. Only he got to see the vision. The companions were filled with dread, but fasting and prayer for Daniel opened up his spiritual eyes. This is important. How many of us would like our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to be open as well? Can you imagine? Think about this situation. Here is this this huge being stands in front of him. The body was like barrel. The face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were flaming torches. Arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And just what a majestic picture or this majestic figure that's laid out. Now, everyone else, they just are totally scared by their circumstances. But because God opened up Daniel's spiritual eyes, he could actually remain and take in exactly what God had in store for them during that time. You know, it's interesting, and a lot of times we lose sight of this. If you look through the scriptures, whenever someone was approached by God, the first instance or instinct that they had was fear. How do we know this? Because every time, what does a person say? Do not fear. Over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, do not fear. Because the first instinct, when God shows up, an angel shows up, or it's like a Christophany or something, the first instinct is fear. Can you imagine being just totally not understanding and having this experience, but not knowing that it came from God? And just being afraid. But see, when he opens up our spiritual eyes, we know that God's at work. We can understand no matter what circumstance that we're in, usually most of these kind of circumstances are quite negative, but understand what God is doing in the midst of it and being able to endure and then receive the results of that perseverance. So fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Number two, fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. In verse 9 and 10, it says, "But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees." It's the presence of God. It's the sweet presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he sets us in this place of perfect peace. It's amazing how this happens. Some of you guys have experienced what Daniel is talking about here. This is what we would call in I guess, charismatic terms, being slain in the spirit or resting in the spirit, or in a more of a modern vernacular for this is what we call carpet time, of just really where your body is unable to grasp or take in the glory of God, and so your body basically goes limp, and you know, you're on the ground, and the Lord just does some amazing things in our life. There was one time I was ministering in San Diego years ago, and I actually was there for a conference, and I came to church, and when I came to church, the pastor, he knew me. I actually just came to just attend church, and the pastor knew me and says, "Oh, P. Sam, wow, I can't believe you're in San Diego. Can you preach today?" And so, you know, what do you say? Okay, yeah, sure. You know, I'll preach, and I preached, and God just showed up. I remember there was one particular, honestly, I thought it was a guy, but it actually was a female. I approached her, I prayed for her, and she was gone. I mean, just knocked out on the ground. She was on the ground, and, you know, after a period of time, she started manifesting demonically and whatnot. And so you know, I was actually praying for a lot of people, so I started praying for her, and then I went and prayed for someone else, and I came back, and there was a team around her that was praying for her, and I kid you not, I saw her face change. And where she actually looked like a guy, I was standing over her, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. All of a sudden, her face became effeminate. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen before. It was she was in the presence of the Lord. And then afterwards, we heard her story, and very typical, she's Chinese, parents wanted to have a boy. Instead, she came out, the dad was really angry most of his life, and so he always wanted a boy, so she thought, in order to please my dad, I had to be a man, I had to be a guy. And so she took on the appearance as a man. In fact, actually, she was actually a lesbian as well. And through this whole thing, and right on the spot, in the presence of the Lord, as the glory of God overpowers her physical presence, on the ground, she gets delivered of homosexuality. Literally her face, I'll never forget that experience of watching her face change. And it's a miracle. You know, and just what the blessing of God, I got to be a part of that miracle. I found out later on that she actually would become a pastor, and she would write a book, and the primary premise of this book is actually that experience that she had in San Diego. It was pretty amazing. I found this out years later on and whatnot. But that's what happens when we get into the presence of the Lord. God moves in our lives. He delivers us. He sets us free from all kinds of things. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not putting the focus so much on the manifestation of being slain in the spirit. Listen very clearly. That is just man's physical response to the Holy Spirit. That is not the Holy Spirit, okay? Be very clear about that. That is only a person's response to the Holy Spirit. And so many of us, we respond very differently. And so we had this one particular response from this particular woman. But man, I can remember so many times that so much revelation, so much peace, so much breakthrough, so much anointing flows when we're in the presence of God. That's exactly what happens here in Daniel. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. When we're giving up the legitimate pleasures of this world for the extreme pleasures of knowing God, when we're coming to this place of sacrifice, and we can eat, and we can go on the internet, and we can do all these things, whatever you may be fasting about, when we do that, it honors the Lord. And I remember of Samuel, 1 Samuel says, "Those that honor God, God will honor." There's something about that. And in prayer and fasting, it sets us in God's presence. Number three, fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. In verse 11, so here Daniel is. Now he's in the presence of the Lord. Now the Lord touches him, and he starts trembling and shaking on his hands and knees. Can you imagine feeling what that feels like when you're trembling and shaking in the presence of the Lord? And the next thing you know, verse 11, he said to me, "O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you." And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he's in that presence of the Lord. I remember the first time, when I started really pursuing God's presence and really with all my heart, just really not wanted his gifts or wanted my prayers answered, but I just wanted him. You guys know what I mean? It's that we have this phrase that says, "Lord, I seek your face and not your hand." And one of this first seasons that I really, really just wanted his face. I didn't need my prayers to be answered. You know, I didn't need more anointing. I didn't want anything from him. I just wanted to be with him. You remember the first time that you felt like that? And maybe if you've never, I encourage you during this season of fasting to pursue him, just him, just Jesus and nothing else, just Christ alone. And I was in this season, and this doesn't need to happen to everyone, but this is just my own testimony. And when this happened, and I would be praying, and I'd just really be seeking him, I would just start shaking like Daniel. And interesting enough, my leg would start shaking. And it was like the weirdest thing, you know, because I've always, you know, as an athlete, I always had really good control of my body and my muscles. And sure enough, I'd really get into this in his presence, and all of a sudden my leg would start shaking. And you know, for me, I'm kind of a low key. I just if I'm gonna be really honest, I just want to be cool. You know, I know that sounds really bad, but like, you know, I don't want to be one of those crazy, no offense, Matt, but you know, I don't want to cry every service. You know, I love you, brother. You know what I mean? I want to the presence of God that I want. I just want to stand still and just the Lord just move on me. We call that like the oaks of righteousness. You know, I just want to look really cool and God just, but you know, a lot of times God doesn't do that to us. He pinpoints exactly where our pride is. And so I was in this church service, this huge, massive service, and my legs started shaking. And I was like, no, you know, I'm like, I just want to be like a respectable pastor. You know, I don't want people to look at me and say, well, that's that weirdo. You know, what's wrong with that guy? And so my legs started shaking. And so I had this whole long episode with the Lord. And then finally, over a period of time, like it says, it brings God's encouragement. I finally got myself, and so my legs started shaking one day, and I was like, okay, well, I don't know what's going on. And the speaker that was speaking at the church, he said that when you're having these kind of physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit, he says, why don't you ask God what he's doing? I thought, wow, that's a brilliant idea. And so I looked and said, God, what are you doing? Why is my leg shaking? And like, why not my hands, you know, or my head or something? But why my legs? Why are my legs shaking? And this was the encouragement that God gave to me. And he said, and you know, over this, I was talking with the Lord. And he said, Sam, I said, yes, Lord. He said, remember when you told me that you would go anywhere in the world for me? And I said, yeah, Lord, I remember when I said that to you. And I did. When I first became a Christian, one of the first prayers I prayed to the Lord is, God, you can send me anywhere. I'll be your servant. And I mean, send me to Timbuktu, you know, send me to North Korea, send me to Iran, Saudi Arabia. I don't care. Just wherever you send me, God, I'll be faithful and I will go. And the Lord spoke to me and says, Sam, this is just your reminder. This is our reminder. It was like a private thing, you know, even though I'm saying it public now. But it was like this thing just with me and God, you know, it's just like our own love language. And God was just saying, it's just, Sam, it's just our reminder that you'll go anywhere for me. And man, you know, afterwards, I felt so blessed. You know, it was just kind of like, you know, so my leg's shaking at this time, you know, and I'm like, okay, God, is that what it means? It's just a reminder to me that my promise to you, that I'll go anywhere for you. And I felt so blessed. You know, I felt so loved. God, you would trust me to take your gospel anywhere around the world? You know, you would have faith in me. You know, I mean, who am I? Just, you know, I'm just a knucklehead. You know, and you would bless me and entrust me to take your word wherever you send me. And you're going to send me all over the world. And that's literally what's happened. And it's been amazing. It's such an encouragement to me. And in the same way, Daniel, you can imagine he's trembling. He doesn't know what's going on. And the Lord comes and says, you are exactly here, man of high esteem. In other words, you are a godly man, Daniel. Don't worry, right? I know all this funky stuff is happening all around you. And he basically is saying, Daniel, you're my man. You're my man. You're a good man. You have good character. Don't worry, I'll be with you. And it brought that esteem. It brought God's encouragement. And you can imagine Daniel, after he'd been praying for 21 days, I'm sure he was very discouraged. Now, for many of us, 21 days of fasting doesn't seem that such a big deal, but Daniel had an incredible relationship with God. And I don't think any of us have ever been in lion's den, you know what I mean? You know, I don't think any of us have gone through some of the things that Daniel has gone through, and he's just seen so much favor, and I'm sure he was very discouraged that, you know, whenever he set his face to pray to God, God answered him. He had the favor of God all over him, and now for 21 days, he's totally lost. And the angel of the Lord comes to bring him that encouragement. Daniel, you're on the right path. You're doing okay. And how important it is for us to, in seasons of our life, especially in the midst of discouragement, especially in the midst of confusion and we don't know what's going on, that the encouragement of God comes to us. He says, hey, you're doing okay. I really loved on our New Year's Eve service, and I really felt really strongly going into it that we were supposed to pray for everybody at church that came out that night and actually prophesy over everyone. So we did. And it was amazing. A lot of people came. And so if you guys were here, you know, we basically lined up and we had all these lines and put chairs in front of everyone. So I had the whole staff come up and pray. And very, very accurate prophecies. I mean, I was overhearing people left and right. And afterwards, you know, we turned to them because most of the people, actually, I didn't even know who they were. A lot of them were actually guests of SP. They went to other churches, which I told them, that's fine. That's fine. You know, you're more than welcome to visit anytime. And afterwards, I would say, hey, did that make any sense to you? And all of them, yeah, it really did. And it was amazing because afterwards, we get into conversation. And so many of these people that came up, they were so discouraged. They were so beaten up. And really, a lot of it is they really felt that God had abandoned them, you know. Or I remember this particular woman came up, and you know, you guys don't know who she is, so I could say this. And she was just saying, "Oh, I was just saying, oh, God loves you." And it wasn't one of those generic prophecies. God loves you, has a plan for your life. Amen. Bye. But I mean, it was really God was really doing something. But at the end, I was saying, "Yeah," and she kept saying, "But I've made so many mistakes, you know. I've made so many bad decisions, and I've just so dishonored God." And I looked at her and I said, hey, this is why we need grace. And just able to just cover her and just really encourage her. How much more we need encouragement when we're low and down and when the enemy is just beating us up left and right. This happens. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. And the last one, point number four, fasting and prayer brings God's answers. It brings God's answers. In verse 12 and 13, and then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days, and then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And so Daniel sees this vision. He knows what it means. He's alarmed by this vision. And then now finally the answer to his prayers comes. And he says, Daniel, this is for a time in the future. And he responds to Daniel's queries. It's interesting that when we think about this, you know how we always talk about God is slow in answering our prayers? A lot of us, we have this idea that God's really slow. He's not. God is always on time. In fact, turn to your neighbor, look at him in the eye really well, say, hey, good looking, God is always on time. He's never late. It'd be great if he was early sometimes, you know, honestly speaking. But man, he is always on time. And he has his time in mind. And so it's amazing when we read this passage, and this gives us incredible insight into prayer and especially in spiritual warfare. And the Bible says that from the moment you set your heart and you humble yourself, he humbles himself by fasting, you humble yourself, he says, God heard. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Many of you that are struggling in your prayer life right now, that are struggling to see answers to that prayer, listen, the moment you set your heart and the moment you humbled yourself and prayed, brothers and sisters, God heard your prayer. Amen? It's powerful. God heard your prayer. Let the Lord speak to you today. He heard the cry of your heart. He caught every tear that you shed about that prayer topic. He heard. Now, there's another side to this as well now, the spiritual warfare side. And Daniel gives us this glimpse. And he says, from that moment, God heard, and the answer was dispatched to us, but there was warfare that was taking place. There was the enemy of our soul, the devil, and he was trying everything he could do to discourage us and to not make that answer to prayer come to us. And so there's a warfare aspect. And this is what we have to be aware of. And that's why the Bible, whenever Jesus gives his teaching on prayer, the primary message of prayer is perseverance. Why? Because there's spiritual warfare. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, world forces, wicked forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so it's important for us to recognize that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. And the enemy hates us. And the enemy wants nothing more than to discourage us and to bring us down and to delay the purposes of God. But God is always on time. And God dispatches his angels to fight with us in this place. God heard from the beginning. Our prayers, brothers and sisters, are pleasing to the Lord. Fasting and prayer aids in spiritual warfare. If you want to grasp this in a bigger dimension, I encourage you to read this book. I've been telling a lot of people at church. It's called This Present Darkness. And it's a book by a pastor. I actually know his niece, a really godly man. And as a pastor, he read passages like this, and he basically wrote a fiction book. Fiction is not real, right? Yeah, okay. Man, I always get those confused, nonfiction and fiction. But yeah, so he wrote a fiction. Sorry, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. And so he wrote this fiction book that describes this whole idea of spiritual warfare and what happens. And so I encourage you, if you want to go a little deeper in really kind of understanding that. And that's what it happens. But fasting and prayer, it brings God's answers. From the first moment you set your heart, you humble yourself and pray, it says God heard. An answer was dispatched. What we need to do in this meantime, where God heard your prayers, the answer is dispatched, now there's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And we need to aid that warfare by continuing to persevere, by continuing to live godly, by continuing to be a follower of Christ in the midst of whatever circumstance that we're in. Amen? Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement, and fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Amen. Let's pray together. Invite the worship team to come. Again, if you're new and you haven't really thought about fasting and Join us. Huh? Start today. Forget your lunch plans and your dinner plans and for the next 21 days. And just join us, and God will change your life. God will do something in your heart. Next week, I'll talk a little bit more about the effects of fasting. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Do you long to come into the presence of the Lord? One of the great tools that He gives us is prayer and fasting. Do you long for your prayers to be answered? One of the greatest tools that He gives us is prayer and fasting. Do you long to understand God's perspective on a matter in your life? In other words, to open up your spiritual eyes. One of the great tools that He gives the church is prayer and fasting. And do you long to hear the encouragement of the Lord? One of that great tools is prayer and fasting. In fact, you know, God's always encouraging us. But you know why prayer and fasting is so important? Because it quiets our soul. It quiets our mind, that we could actually start really hearing from the Lord instead of hearing all the garbage that's in the world. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. This is what I want you to do in your prayer right now. I want you to come. I want you to pick up one of these bookmarks and a pen if you don't have one. I want you to go back to your seat, and this is before we're going to take communion. I want you to write down some of these prayers that you have for this year and make them grand. You know, don't just write, God bless me in 2016. Yeah, He wants to do that, but be specific. And so let's come out of our seats, and this is how we're going to pray today to respond to the message. Just grab one of these bookmarks from the stage and grab a pen if you don't have one. And on the back side, just write down, all right, go back to your seats, and just write down your prayers for this year. What you're seeking God for. And as the worship team leads us, what you write, let that be your prayer today. Again, if you have a pen, just please use your own. If you need one, grab one. So worship team, go ahead and lead us, and you guys can write as you pray.
What could I do?
You guys are writing, you can continue to do that. Let me read from the scriptures. This is 1 Corinthians 11 from 23, and invite the ushers to come. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, but does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and number asleep." So today is Communion Sunday, and so we're going to spend our time together to partake in the elements of his body and his blood. And I want to encourage you to, as these elements are passed around, that you check your heart. The admonition of the scriptures that we do this in the right heart. And so this is our time to go before the Lord and just really check our hearts. Pray David's prayer in Psalm 139. "Lord, see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in their everlasting way." And see if there's any sin in our hearts, and confess and repent before the Lord. Our usher is going to pass this out, and when you receive the elements, hold on to that, and then we'll take it together as a body.
Completely to you.
there anyone that's not received the elements yet? No? Let's hold them in our hands. Let's close our eyes and bow our head. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, as we hold these elements in our hand, God, we are reminded once again of the price that you paid for us. Lord, even as we're fasting right now, Lord, many of us consider that to be a great sacrifice, not eating food, not being on Facebook, or not eating desserts or whatever we may be fasting. God, but that is nothing compared to your sacrifice for us. So help us in this season not to be religious, God, or not to think about winning any brownie points. Lord, we just are responding to your sacrifice for us. And so we thank you for your body, God, that was beaten and broken on our behalf. Your blood that so flowed so freely for the forgiveness of our sins. And we are humbled once again, God, at this place. God, and we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. If you're able, let's stand to our feet and let's sing this together as we close our service.
Your promise, my soul now sings.
Let's pray together. God, I think the song sums it up so beautifully, God. What can we say, God? Or what can we do? But simply offer our hearts, our lives to you, God. Say thank you. Lord, I pray, God, in these 3 weeks, Lord, that you lead our church. Lord, that we would really draw near to you, Lord God. That not only are we preparing, Lord, for what's to come, but Lord, we want to come to that place of abiding. Lord, we just want to be with you, God. Lord, I just want to be where you are. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on around me, Lord, I just want to be where you are. Because where you are, God, is the fullness of joy. So help us, God. Give us strength, Lord. Help us to focus on you. Help us not to be religious, but to really seek after you and your face, God. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity that you give to us individually and as a body to do that. So we love you, God. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Won't you hug your neighbor and say, keep at it. Keep fasting. Hug your other neighbor and say, return the pen. So please return the pens. Enjoy this week, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock sharp.